parable, and I'm excited to see what Stephen has to shed some new light on it, I'm sure. So, Mark 4:1-20. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. A very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
All right, well, this morning we're going to be continuing our fall sermon series, Follow Me. We're looking at the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament, and we're asking the simple but all-important question of what does it really mean to follow Jesus on an everyday basis? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And this morning, the specific angle we're looking at is how do you tell what real faith is? How do you tell real faith from counterfeit faith? How do you know what the real deal is when we're talking about things of a spiritual nature, things regarding church, and things regarding even being a follower of Christ? So as we consider that question, let's take a moment and pray together. Father God, as we come to you and we give you thanks for your church and even the world we live in, we're reminded that because of our sin, this world is a broken place, it's a messy place, it can be a confusing place, and so as we come to your word, we just ask that you would make it clear, that you would shed light on it, and that you would help us receive it in our hearts with joy. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, Reed Wilson, age 12, woke up last Saturday morning, and he could hardly contain himself. He was bursting with excitement as he got dressed. He put on orange shoes and orange pants and an orange shirt, and he joined his dad in the car to drive 2 hours to Knoxville, Tennessee. You see, Reed was going to his first ever Tennessee Vols football game because his dad was continuing a family tradition that had gone on for years and had shelled out $400 to get them tickets to watch the Vols play the Alabama Tide, sorry. And as Reed got ready for this game, this was a dream that had been in his mind for years. He had been dying to watch them in person. He had watched every game since he was 5 or 6 years old on TV. So as they arrived in Knoxville, they grabbed their lunch, they walked to the stadium gates, the bands were playing, ESPN was there, the crowd was already cheering. The anticipation of what awaited him was building and building, and that's when the ticket collector stopped them. Her little scanner scanned the tickets, and it started flashing red and beeping. The lady informed them that their tickets, which they had spent $400 on, were counterfeit tickets. They would not be granted entry into the game. They had been duped by fakes. Now imagine that feeling of the excitement growing, the excitement building, all to be let down by such disappointment at the last moment. That's what happens any time that we deal with a fake, any time we get tricked, any time we get scammed, any time we get ripped off. Especially in a day and age where there are lots of schemes out there and scams and hoaxes and knockoffs and counterfeits, it can be really hard to identify the real deal. It can be really hard to spot what's legitimate and what's fake. And that doesn't just go for products we might buy. It doesn't just go for promotional things. You might get it by email or over the phone. It also goes for things of a spiritual nature. It can be hard to tell what's the real deal in church. What's the real deal in a person's faith? How do you know if it's legitimate, or how do you know if it's not? As Christians, we've met people who profess faith in Christ very boldly and then quickly drop that profession. We've met people who for a time seemed like they were legitimate followers of Christ. They seemed to be doing everything a Christian would, and then suddenly there was a great falling away. There was a great tragedy. Something happened, and all of a sudden their faith was gone. We know lots of people who say they're Christians, but if you examine their lives, you'd struggle to find any evidence, and it can be hard to grapple with those things, to try to understand what's going on here. Is this real? Is this not real? Now, as we turn to the Gospel of Mark this morning, the encouraging news is that this isn't a new problem. In fact, this is something the disciples struggled with as well. They struggled to identify what was real among the crowds following Jesus, what wasn't real, and why would some people follow Jesus if it wasn't sincere, if it wasn't genuine faith? Now, thankfully, in this passage, Jesus is getting the disciples ready to send them out to make their own disciples for Jesus, to preach the gospel and to do good works in the name of Jesus. So in preparing them, Jesus begins to teach them what real faith looks like and why it's so rare and why it can be so hard to spot. Jesus tells them that real faith responds to the gospel, but then remains in it. It not only responds in the first place, but it remains in it. And in fact, Jesus wants to give them a great metaphor to understand this, so he refers to something that everybody in his crowd would have got, which was agriculture. And thankfully, in our setting, this should be something that we can understand as well. He referred to good faith and hearts that were ready for the gospel as good soil, as fertile ground, ground that could produce a good harvest, so to speak. So the question we want to ask this morning is, as we find ourselves in a similar position, we know lots of people who profess Christ and there doesn't seem to be evidence, and we've seen lots of people turn away from Christ or shame the name of Christ or shame even Christianity. We want to know, how do you tell what's real? So Jesus is going to show us three things to answer that question. He teaches us how to understand the good soil, how to understand the soil that responds to God, how to understand the bad soil. And then finally, he refers to a mystery that makes all the difference between the two. So we're going to work our way through those, and as we do so, we should get some really good clues into how to make sense of the world around us and what's actually going on with faith. Now, the first place we want to start is actually understanding the bad soil. So why is bad soil important to understand? Why are people who reject Jesus important to understand? And here's the first thing that Jesus says. He says that bad soil is important to understand because it rejects the gospel. Now, as our story picks up, Jesus finds himself surrounded by a crowd again. Everyone